beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the day will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, or I'll give you the words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up, there was a song by a group named REM. And the song was, "It's the end of the world, it's the end of the world." And one of the lines in the song and in the chorus was, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." Right? It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. It's essentially a takeaway from our scriptures this morning. Jesus doesn't paint us a rosy picture, does he? Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be famines, there's going to be plagues. And before all this, you're going to get arrested, you'll be persecuted, some of you are going to be put to death. Notice that's not on any church billboards to get you to sign up, right? For this way of life, right? Sign me up for that. But there's a sense, it's the end of the world as we know it, but I feel fine. Why do we feel fine as Christians? In our first lesson from Malachi, we get some, what can be perceived as some hellfire and brimstone. If you don't care for arrogant and evil people in this world, the day is coming, burning like an oven. How many of us hear that and be like, "Oh man, I hope they're going to get theirs," right? Right? In our sinfulness and brokenness, the day is coming, burning like an oven. Now, the name Malachi means messenger. And as a messenger of God, the prophet Malachi is calling people to repent, to turn to the Lord. And in the book of Malachi, we encounter complaints of the people. The people are saying that God is being unjust. But it is the people that are wrong. They're involved in magical practices, adultery, they swear to other gods. Workers are not given a fair wage, and those who are powerless in their society are not being cared for, namely widows and orphans and refugees. I don't think we have to look too far in our society today to find greed, to find that we neglect those in need. We don't need to poll many people to see that their allegiances are to other things, other gods, over and against the one true God. Just talking to someone the other day who pointed out something that I've believed and said, shared myself, that the current foster care system is a way to care for modern-day orphans and widows in our society, a biblical calling that all Christians are called to engage in. Some would argue that the brokenness of that system, coupled with the lack of adequate funding, is another testament of our moral compass today, or lack thereof. Now, what I've noticed is that regardless of a Christian worldview or ideology, if you ask any Christian, they would probably point to things that are unfaithful in our society, ways in which we're being unfaithful. Some Christians might name different things, might name the same things, but with confidence, they may say, it is the end of the world as we know it. Now, some might say they feel fine. Some might say, I don't. I'm terrified. I'm afraid. Now, reading Malachi, in that this day is coming, burning like an oven, we might feel a sense of pride. Those enemies of mine, they're going to get theirs, right? They're going to get burnt up. But we should never rejoice in such things as Christians, including our enemies. We should always pray and hope for conversion, right? We should never want that for anybody. God desires all people to be saved, all people to come to Him. And the reality is, the day is coming for all of us. The day is coming for all of us. In our sinfulness and brokenness, aren't we all guilty of being arrogant? Thinking our way is better than the Lord's way? When we realize that we can't faithfully uphold the Lord's commandments, our Lord's teachings, and understand that we participate in evil in this world, either directly or indirectly, that day is coming for all of us. Now, some love to prey on the fear and concern that this realization brings to people. I would love to calculate how lucrative apocalyptic teaching has been just in our country alone, because it tries to sell people on the idea that they can escape the impending day, or better yet, even predict when the day is coming. Even though Jesus says the Son of Man doesn't know, somehow other people have this inside track over and above the Son of Man. I always say that when we read these warnings of the end of days, that our response should not be fear, but joy. Why? Why joy and not fear? Because our God is love. Our God is love. The world is panicked and anxious. All this stuff is happening. Think about it. What Jesus is laying out here. Famine? Who's responsible for famine? Us. There's enough that God gives the world to feed the world, probably multiple times over. Who's responsible for wars and conflicts? God? No, it's us, right? All these things, all this chaos, all this destruction, that's our sinfulness. We need God to come. We want the day of the Lord. We want the new heaven and the new earth. So we live in this world that's panicked, that's anxious, that lives in fear. So there's different ways that we could emphasize why we feel fine as Christians. Are we delusional and naive? Does the biblical text make us numb to what's happening around us? Say, yeah, I feel fine. Or is it because in the midst of this, I see the heartache in the world. I see the pain. I see the death. I see the destruction. I see that it's all caused by sin. But I feel fine, not because it's not real, but it is very real. But I have Jesus with me. Jesus is with us in the midst of this. I feel fine because I know the healing power of Jesus Christ that will get us through this now and will be with us forever. We hear in Malachi, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. God calls us to be sheltered in divine love. We hear this image of God protecting us in His wings throughout the Scriptures. Protect me as you would protect the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, we hear in Psalm 17, verse 8. How precious is your royal love, O God. The human race finds shelter under your wings. Psalm 36, verse 7. I will be a permanent guest in your home. I will find shelter in the protection of your wings. Psalm 61, verse 4. For you are my deliverer. Under your wings I rejoice. Psalm 63, verse 7. He will shelter you with his wings. You will find safety under his wings. His faithfulness is like a shield or a protective wall. Psalm 91, verse 4. Yesterday, Jessica and I were asked to speak at a foster care panel, particularly geared to how churches can be supportive of foster parents. So we got to brag about all the good stuff you guys have done for us over the past few years and gave churches ideas on how they can support foster parents in their congregation. Well, one thing that we made clear is that regardless of how we understand the system and what needs to change, what needs to be reformed, is that in the midst of all this, the children need love, stability, and safety. Love, stability, and safety. That's not just for foster kids, though, right? All people deserve love, stability, and safety. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. Love, stability, and safety. That's why he gives us commandments out of love. They give us stability to keep us safe, right? This is what God does for us over and over again, teaching us, guiding us. He wants that for all of humanity. In Luke's gospel, we might recall Jesus saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you. How often I long to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." God wants to gather us, to protect us, to take care of us, to heal us, to make us new. This is the God we get. There's nothing to be afraid of. The day is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? When we get caught up on the end times and apocalyptic texts, we tend to think of a time of being with God at a future date in a future place. But God is with us now. We're gathered into the wings of our Lord through the sacrament of holy baptism. Our Lord shelters us and cares for us through the ministry of the church. As the body of Christ, we bear each other's burdens. We wipe away each other's tears. We find healing from our Lord at this table, fed with the body and blood of Christ and the gifts of bread and wine. The Holy Spirit gathered each and every one of us here this morning to be sheltered by the Most High God, to experience heaven on earth and the gifts of word and sacrament. The day is coming, but it's a good day. We feel fine. We have joy, not because we don't grieve, not because we don't feel anxious, but because in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our stress, we know that the Lord is with us and we find healing in his wings. God is always coming to us. And in a couple weeks, we prepare to celebrate the season of Advent, which is really preparing for God's second advent in Christ. And not too long after that, we celebrate the Feast of the Incarnation of Christ at Christmas. Now, if you look at your text from Malachi, you might notice that Charles Wesley might have been enamored with that verse when he wrote "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings." It's right from Malachi. That's joyous. The day is coming. And we profess and proclaim that with joy. We pray for Christ to come. And if you love celebrating the first coming, then you're also going to love the second coming. Christ comes in the midst of our turmoil to give us healing, peace, and life. That's the Christ that is with us, and that's the Christ we share in the world. That's the Christ that sends us out and says, "Share that love," as people are anxious and stressed and consumed with war, with famine, with all this stuff because of our sinfulness and brokenness. We share this love of Christ that's come to them. God uses us to share that love. So we rejoice when we're aware of Christ's presence. We give thanks for the healing Christ gives to us now, and we give witness to the life that we have in him, both now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.